As we encounter changes and transitions in our lives, we often attempt to fix our discomfort. We try to fix our pain and fill our voids, ultimately to make us feel better. But we need to understand that with change, there will be some discomfort. We must learn to trust the divine amidst the pain.
That's the Reverend Dr. Joshua Scott, and today he shares a challenging message of faith called Everything Changes with God. I'm Peter Wallace. It's Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. Joshua Scott, who serves as the Associate Pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, where he ministers to youth and families, college students, and young adults. He also leads a Sunday afternoon service called All Together. Joshua received a Bachelor of Science dual degree in History and Sociology from Jacksonville State University and his Master of Divinity from Mercer University McAfee School of Theology, as well as an MACE from Morehouse School of Religion and a Doctor of Ministry from Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. Joshua, welcome to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. I'm so happy to be here.
You were with us a year ago when it looked like the pandemic was improving and we were looking forward to returning to church full force, but some protocols continue and the situation seems ever-changing. Well, give us an update about where Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church is in these challenging days, and in particular, work with youth and young adults.
Well, Peter, I tell you, who would have ever thought that we would still be here? But we have to celebrate small victories. You know, Second Ponce has began to have people come back into worship, and we are still following the CDC guidelines. Our young adults have been virtual and some in person, so we're doing hybrid ministry at its best. At least that's what we tell ourselves. Because, you know, the comfort levels are all over the spectrum. You have some people that, hey, I just want to be online because of COVID. And you have some people that I want to be online because of the convenience of everything. I always tell people at this time, basketball shorts are more enticing than suits. And so, you know, we have had some people come back. Our college students, it's exciting because I'm able to do pastoral care for them in a different manner. Because, you know, a lot of them have gone back, they're wearing masks inside, and the comfort levels are still all over the place, but they're having to be in person, a lot of them. And so, I mean, at this time, we're just trying to keep the ball rolling and continue to share Jesus in an interesting and chaotic world.
I understand you had an interesting Christmas outreach to students at Georgia State and Georgia Tech in December. Tell us about that.
Oh, my God, Peter, that was just the highlight of the Christmas season. We were able to go on December 7th to Georgia Tech and hand out 200 Chick-fil-A boxes. Not only did we have a Chick-fil-A sandwich, some chips, and a cookie that came from Chick-fil-A, but we were able, our church was able to write handwritten notes and even bake some delightful and delicious goodies. I mean, we collected over 419 just sweets. And we went to Georgia Tech on the 7th, went to Georgia State on the 8th, and gave out over 400 boxes and 400 handwritten notes and sweets. And just to watch the faces of people that, you know, just say, hey, we've never received a note like this. We've never, in the digital age, never even had a church care that much about us. And it was, we called it Christmas during finals. And it was just so awesome to add some joy at the Christmas season.
Ah, beautiful. Well, we are coming to the end of Black History Month, and you recently have been pursuing efforts at racial reconciliation in a number of ways. For one thing, you've been working with Casey Jones and the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship toward this end. What has that effort involved?
Well, Casey is amazing. She works with CBF, and she is spearheading an initiative for the fellowship called the McCall Initiative, from Dr. McCall and his amazing work. And basically, she has helped to bring more awareness and more opportunities for throughout the fellowship for people to engage in speaking about race, discussing race, and actually trying to see how we can all do life together. Reconciliation is so important to me. And as we highlight Black History Month, it's important that we highlight the struggle, but also the joy. The joy that is, you know, the African-American race, and the joy that, you know, how far we have come and how far we have to go. I'm so excited because as I read the Bible, it's like a kid in a candy store, especially in Revelation 7, verse 9, where it says we're going to be all around the throne, worshiping God. And that gives me hope because even though our churches in many ways are still separated and segregated and sometimes, I love it because it makes us understand that we have work to do. Because when we're around that throne in heaven, it won't be a segregated heaven. It's going to be every tribe, every tongue, every ethnic group. And I think that's the way our churches should look. And so I want to give my life to actually trying to see how we can live in harmony with each other.
Earlier this year, you started a book study and discussion on the book Becoming Brave by Brenda Salter McNeil. How does that book help guide the conversation for churches?
Brenda Salter McNeil, Pastor and Dr. Brenda Salter McNeil, she offers the most complete definition of racial reconciliation. She describes it as an ongoing spiritual process, Peter. And I love that because she talks about it being a catalytic moment, you know, the moments of struggle and tension. And she walks through each phase where she talks about we can't have the joy of reconciliation without having the pain and the lamenting of our past and even our present. And I love that, man. It has helped challenge all of us, people of color, people of all ethnic groups. And her argument is we can live together. We can do life together, but it's with some intentional lamenting, authentic relationships. And the way forward can be together, but we have to shed the mask and we can't overlook our past. And so our book study has been awesome. It's virtual. We've connected with people at Second Punts and outside of Second Punts. And I just love it because when I look on the Zoom screen, I can see all ethnic groups together. And I think we're doing more than the old report card would say, well, we play nice or play well with others. We're starting to cut beneath that surface and you're starting to see life on life relationships form.
Well, Joshua, this is Transfiguration Sunday, and your sermon focuses on the gospel account of this glorious event from Luke chapter 9, which you will be sharing with us through your sermon. We look forward to hearing it. It's called Everything Changes with God. Thanks for sharing your sermon with us.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program with Joshua Scott with an extended interview, you can subscribe to Day One Weekly program on your favorite podcast app or listen on our website at dayone.org. And if you'd like a free printed sermon transcript, just call us at 404-815-9110.
For the time that is ours to share today, we will notice from Luke 9, verses 28 through 36, that everything changes with God. I was in the sixth grade, sitting in a circle of chairs with many other middle and high school students for our Wednesday night youth Bible study. My youth pastor said, "Today, we are going to discuss the transfiguration of Jesus." We all looked at each other with uncertainty, confusion, and some skepticism. I remember asking two questions, saying, "What exactly does this word mean?" Someone else in the room asked, "How could this happen?" The word transfiguration actually means a complete change in form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state. We often think of Jesus who transforms us, not Jesus who also is transformed. However, in Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36, we notice that everyone in this narrative receives a transformation. Luke, the physician, offers an account of the actions of Jesus from 7 BC to 26 AD for 24 chapters in the Synoptic Gospel according to Luke. Today, we rest and await the transformation on a very high mountain with Jesus, Peter, James, John, even Moses and Elijah. And we will notice that change indeed can occur in each and every one of our lives. The exciting mention of the transfiguration of Jesus is not only mentioned here in Luke chapter 9, but we also see it in Mark chapter 9 and even in Matthew chapter 17. In this exciting narrative, repeated three times in the Bible, we are called to notice that everything changes with God. So, after foretelling his death and resurrection, Jesus begins in verse 28 sharing, "Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." Friends, notice with me, in verses 28 through 31, the immediate changes that impact the future. As we reflect on change, many of us tend to have a love and hate relationship with change. This is due to the presence of what is lost, while also embracing what is gained. In Luke chapter 9, specifically in verses 28 through 31, Peter, John, James, and Jesus immediately experience a shift in their normality. After predicting his own death, Jesus, with three of his disciples, go up to a very high mountain to pray. But while he is praying, immediate changes occur. His face changes and a wardrobe change occurs. His clothing has become as bright as a flash of lightning. The norm they were used to immediately shifts, and they witness Moses and Elijah having a table talk with Jesus. Moses and Elijah are important ancestors who have transitioned, and now they are speaking, I mean having a conversation on a mountain with Jesus. The shift is immediate, and they don't have time to get ready or even adjust. It just happens. And these changes will impact the future of the entire world. Friends, we too can experience sudden changes in our lives, and we do not always have the luxury to prepare for what takes place. Think about it. People can transition suddenly. People get promoted suddenly. You can be in a car wreck suddenly. Some people even win the lotto suddenly, and even experience unexpected blessings that come from God suddenly. The more we live, the more we have the chance to see good and bad changes occur in our lives. The change presented in these verses provides immediate shock, but leads to the desired future of Jesus, showing the world the love of God. This immediate change will impact the future, so much so that it will lead humanity into a relationship with God. Friends, I hate to upset your equilibrium, but allow me to say that change and comfort aren't usually friends at first. Peter, James, John, and Jesus are experiencing change without the comfort. Jesus is changed while praying, and Peter, James, and John are having their norm destroyed when all they bargained for was a little prayer time with Jesus. Is this change uncomfortable? Yes. But the greatest blessings of change are not experienced initially, but over time. Praying Jesus now has dazzling white clothes, and his face is greatly changed. The transfiguration of Jesus is immediate, but the beauty it will bring in the future is worth the initial discomfort, as we will see. Friends, we've seen the change that will impact the world, but notice with me also as the narrative continues how in verses 32 through 33, we notice an unhelpful response to change. The narrative continues beginning at verse 32, saying these words, "Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' not knowing what he said." As we encounter changes and transitions in our lives, we often attempt to fix our discomfort. We try to fix our pain and fill our voids, ultimately to make us feel better. But we need to understand that with change, there will be some discomfort, but we must learn to trust the divine amidst the pain. In Luke chapter 9, verses 32 through 33, Peter, James, and John are sleepy. They are so weighed down by sleep that it's as if they've taken NyQuil on an empty stomach. But they push through their desire for rest and notice Jesus standing with two faithful men known from the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. If you're like me, you bring your questions to the text and begin saying, "How can ancient truth tellers stand presently with Jesus?" Well, Moses and Elijah being present with Jesus is intentional because they represent the law and the words from the prophets that point directly to Jesus. These two Old Testament truth tellers standing with Jesus at this time represent how Jesus is the fulfillment of both the law and the words said by the prophets. Notice how God, through Christ, has all of these intentional footprints of fulfillment set up. And suddenly, overzealous Peter offers a well-intended response saying, "Hey, Jesus, it's so awesome that you were up here on this mountain with Moses and Elijah. Okay, how about we make tents for Moses and Elijah and you to live in?" However, the crafting of tents to dwell in was not needed, primarily due to the whole reason that Jesus is on earth is to die for the sins of humanity and to show us God's love. Therefore, the tent was not required, but trusting in God is always welcome. Trust, not a tent, would have been the helpful response. Friends, Jesus isn't interested in us attempting to fix our own problem. Instead, Jesus desires that we trust God, that we trust God's word and that we trust in God's provision to change every single thing for the better. No, this doesn't mean that God desires for us to divorce any responsibility in the matter or in our lives. However, it means that our faith in God through Jesus can fix more than our hands, more than our intellect, even more than our network. You know, as I continue living, I've learned that ambition is fantastic, but there is a way that ambition can become unhealthy. Unhealthy ambition is where one desires to achieve something so badly that you will function outside of God's will to achieve it. Having ambition is good, but everything that we do, everything that we say, and all that we are must be viewed through the lens of God's will. For this to happen, we have to reach the end of ourselves, to hear and to gain approval from God. You know, as I keep reading this narrative, I like to ask the question, what would have happened if Peter asked a question to Jesus instead of offering a statement? What would have happened if Peter calmed down a little bit and thought back to Luke chapter 9, verse 21, when Jesus spoke all about his death? Friends, we can learn from our overzealous brother, Peter, right here. We learn not to believe that we have all the answers, not to believe that we know exactly what is best, and instead learn to rest and ask and follow God's instructions. May we come to the end of ourselves to look to God for instruction so that God may change our lives for the better. Within this narrative of Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 33, we've seen what change looks like. We've even examined how Peter offered an unhelpful response, but suddenly the narrative shifts. And in verses 34 through 36, we gain instructions on how to deal with change. Beginning at verse 34, the narrative says, "While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, 'This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him.' When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen." Consistently, throughout our lives, change occurs. People live and people transition. We are all getting older, whether we would like to admit it or not. Seasons change, and as the hymn writer would suggest, time is filled with swift transitions. Therefore, we need to understand precisely how to cope with our ever-changing environment. Within these verses and chapter of Luke, chapter 9, verses 34 through 36, notice that after Peter's unhelpful response to build three tents for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, not knowing that soon they all would reside in a building not made by human hands, suddenly, God changes Peter's desire to cope with change his own way, and James and John, having no clue as to how to deal with dazzling white clothes on Jesus and the sighting of two brothers who transitioned many years ago. Friends, understand, this is so much to conceptualize, and it's even more to process. They cannot do it alone. But God, filled with empathy and compassion, interrupts the unhelpful responses to change
and says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." This interaction between Peter, James, John, Jesus, and now God, it shows us that dealing with change properly cannot be handled apart from listening to the instruction and wisdom that comes from God. Friends, Jesus is the power and wisdom of God. This is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul says, "For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." You may ask, okay, what does that mean? It means that our best cannot beat God. All the wisdom in the world cannot outmatch God's wisdom. To handle the constant change in our lives, we must constantly and consistently flood our minds and lives with the wisdom and instruction that comes from God. Although God gave Peter, James, and John the way to deal with this sudden change at the time of the Transfiguration, it could not be fully conceptualized until the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This was more than dazzling clothes and a quick sighting of some ancient heroes of the faith. But we see through the Transfiguration that God changes everything. He changes everything by His presence, everything by His voice, everything by simply God being God. You know, I've always been intrigued by the operation of an oven. That's why my mom would often have to say, "Josh, keep your hands off of the oven." But an oven, it can be heated and adjusted to various temperatures so that what is placed inside of an oven can either be burnt to a crisp or the oven can cook our favorite dishes in such a way that they taste just right. But when the oven is in operation, whatever goes inside changes over time. Friends, allow me to share with you that God is always active and in operation, and whoever and whatever spends time near God will eventually be changed over time. God changes more than clothes into a dazzling white wardrobe, but God also changes hearts. God changes minds. God changes lives. God changes relationships. Our God changes circumstances. God changes problems into blessings. God changes pain into purpose. Our mighty God changes unbelief into belief and failures into stepping stones that lead to success. The Transfiguration of Jesus, it presents an immediate change, but also a challenge. And the challenge is for us to rely on God above what we know, above what we've learned, or even above what we think is best. The instructions of God work best when followed. My prayer is that we would have ears to listen, feet to follow, and hearts that believe that God indeed can change everything. Amen.
You've been listening to the Reverend Dr. Joshua Scott, Associate Pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of his message for Transfiguration Sunday, Everything Changes with God, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. And keep in mind that Day One depends on the generous donations of our faithful listeners. Please send your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. And thank you. I'm Peter Wallace. Next week on Day One, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. Quincy Brown, senior pastor of Snellville United Methodist Church in Snellville, Georgia. Quincy launches us into the season of Lent with a powerful sermon, so I hope you'll join us next week on Day One. If you're a preacher, you'll enjoy experiencing the Festival of Homiletics, the premier annual preaching conference. The 2022 festival will be May 16th through 20th, in person in Denver, Colorado, or you can view free live streaming sessions online. Over these 5 days of sermons, lectures, workshops, and worship, a powerful lineup of church leaders will focus on the theme, After the Storm, Preaching and Trauma. It's all designed to inspire you to be a more effective preacher in these challenging days. For more information or to register for this life-changing conference, go online to festivalofhomiletics.com. That's festivalofhomiletics.com. Now, our Day One preacher, Joshua Scott, shares some final reflections on his sermon today, Everything Changes with God. And Josh, you focus on change and our responses to it. And my goodness, our lives seem to have been full of change over the past couple of years. You said we tend to have a love-hate relationship with change because we lose some things while we embrace what is gained. Would you say more about why change is so hard to navigate for us, even when the change may seem good?
Peter, yes. There was a lady I encountered the other day, and she said, "What's so hard about mental health is that we try to fixate on one emotion at a time." However, everywhere we go, we have both and moments. And that's what makes change so hard.
Yeah.
Because it's a both and moment. You're grieving because you're losing something, an opportunity cost, but you're excited because you're embracing the other. And how do you live in that space where it's both and it's either or, and giving yourself permission to do both? I think that's how we can embrace change. However, we don't do that well because that's a reversal of our thoughts. We're not one way. We're both and.
And when we encounter changes and transitions in our lives, we try to fix the discomfort we feel about it, you said. We try to fix our pain to make us feel better, which is not the best way to deal with change. We need to understand that with change, there will be some discomfort, but we must learn to trust the divine amidst the pain. Can you help us understand better how to do that?
You know, most mornings, I'm on this health kick, Peter, you know, trying to eat right. I go sweat for Jesus most mornings. But, you know, I hear my trainer holler at me lovingly that change happens at the end of your comfort zone. So often we're so addicted to comfort. You know, even as, you know, we talk about reconciliation or anything, we can't fully change because we want it to feel good. Well, if we ever want long-lasting change, we have to be uncomfortable for a minute. Even in this sermon, I talk about how change and comfort aren't friends at first, you know, and they won't be.
Yeah.
But as you keep going, you'll understand that when the transformation happens, you'll say, man, this is what you were trying to get me to, God. So I think we have to just learn how to keep going and stop trying to put, you know, put our man-made or human-made fixes on things and just keep going. Keep trusting, keep believing.
Josh, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
That God changes everything. No matter what we're going through, no matter the pain you may feel, you keep going because the God full of empathy, grace, and mercy is able and willing to change everything for our good.
Amen. Joshua Scott, thank you for being with us.
Again, thank you so much, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.